We pick up on the same title of the lesson we had last Sunday, Who Crucified Jesus Christ? The Bible tells us that God crucified Christ. The Bible tells us that Christ crucified Christ. The Bible tells us that the Jews crucified Christ. The Bible tells us that Satan crucified Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that the Jews, that the Roman, crucified Christ. We are further informed by the Bible that all people crucified Christ. And the Bible also tells us that every person crucified Christ. In the first lesson, we look on what the Bible teaches on this matter, that God was the one who crucified Christ, and we start with a passage then that everybody knows, not just Romans chapter 3, but St. John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Notice, it is God who gave his Son. And that giving there involves giving him to die for our sins. We pointed out in the first lesson that the holiness and the justice of God and the very nature of sin as it affects God demanded a particular, a specific ransom, not just anything. The justice, the holiness of God could not, it's not a case of would not, it's a case of God's holiness could not accept just any and anything to deal with sin. A specific ransom or price for sin was demanded. This price that we should have paid was out of our capacity. It was out of our reach, out of our ability to give. We did not have the wherewithal to pay for our sin. Remember, we discussed then that sin, as God's justice demands, sin must either be paid for or be punished. While we, in our sinful state and ignorance and whatever, while we, probably, well, you can forget that man. There are a lot of things we sometimes feel you can just push one side and forget. The Almighty God could not treat sin lightly. It's not something that God could just push one side. It's going to either be paid for by the right price, in this case by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the life of Jesus Christ, all is going to be punished in the eternal hell. Every sin going to be dealt with in one of those two categories. Wait. Make sure that you take your sin to Jesus Christ for Him to pay for it. Make sure. Every one of us. And make sure that you meet God's condition. God Himself provided the ransom in Jesus Christ at Calvary to pay for our sin. Jesus Christ. Calvary with Jesus Christ on the cross there was God's design, God's initiative to pay for our sin. Isaiah 53, verse 4 and verse 10. Let us hear it.
Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken.
Surely He did what?
Born
the grief that we should have paid for sin was born by Jesus Christ. What else He did?
And carried our sorrows.
He carried our sorrow.
Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted.
He was smitten of who?
Of God.
Christ at Calvary was God's initiative, God's doing. Smitten of God.
And afflicted.
And afflicted. Verse 10.
Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him.
It pleased God to bruise Him.
He hath put Him to grief.
It was God's own decision, not Satan, to bruise, smite, chastise Jesus Christ for your sin and my sin. Christ, Calvary and the cross do not tell of Satan's victory. Are we there? Christ, Calvary and the cross tells of God's undertaking and God's victory at Calvary. When we see Calvary, when we read of Christ at Calvary and the cross, never think that Satan had his way there. It was all God who had His way at Calvary. This is why the Apostle Paul could write that I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That our faith, our belief, our trust in the Almighty God may not depend on human wisdom, but on the power of God, which is the gospel. But it was not. All that I've been doing a while ago over the past few minutes was recap some of what was involved in last week's lesson. And the fact that God's revelation teaches us that it was God who crucified Christ. But now, the Bible also teaches us that Christ crucified Christ. That's right. Huh? Christ, being a part of the Godhead, was the architect of his own death. What a wonderful passage. It couldn't be made plainer than the passage that was read this morning, found in the book of St. John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18. Could we have it again? St. John chapter 10, 17 and 18 expresses it plainly. Therefore does my Father love me.
Because I lay down my life.
I lay down my life. You must note that. Because when, in putting this lesson together, I said I'm going to deal with two parts. Christ crucified Christ and Satan crucified Christ. But by the time I finished, I realized there was not even sufficient time to deal with Christ crucified Christ. So notice the passage again. Read, brother.
Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life.
You must note that. It is I who lay down my life. That's right. The emphasis here is not that somebody compelled Jesus Christ and took it from him. I lay down my life.
That I might take it again.
That I may take it again.
No man taketh it from me.
Now, in case you didn't understand what he said the first time, he's making it plain. My life, Christian, it was a willing decision of the Godhead. Not any power of Satan. It was the grace and the love and the mercy of God that made the decision for Jesus Christ to give up his life so that we may have life. What you have just read, dear brother, in verse 10, I think. In verse 18.
No man taketh it from
me. No man taketh it from me. May I? The Roman Imperia, Rome did not take Jesus' life. The Israelites, the Jews in their pride, but they have destroyed this imposter. They did not take Jesus' life. Satan did not have anything to rejoice about. Because it was Jesus Christ who made the decision to give up his life for us. May I? Every detail of Jesus' death, the time of Jesus' death, the place of... Wait. I don't reach that yet. Sorry. Every detail of Jesus' death was a decision of the Almighty God, of Jesus Christ, of the Holy Spirit. That is the Godhead. Not the Jews. Verse 18 again.
No man taketh it from me.
No man take it from me.
But I lay it down of myself.
I, the Son of God, Jesus the Christ, the Savior of the world, lay it down.
I have power to lay it down.
you know, you can't miss this. In state so many, I have, in case of all of this, you wonder, say, how am I going to do it? He said, I have the power to lay it down and to take it back again. Everybody gets it? What are we dealing with this morning, Brother Mitchell? That not only the Bible tells us that God crucified Christ, but it tells us that Christ crucified Christ. And it's not a contradiction. Both are true. Christ crucified Christ. Jesus Christ. Calvary on the cross. As I said, do not speak of Satan's victory. Are we there? The decision. Yes, the decision. And the consent to die was Jesus Christ alone. That's right. Christ gave up his life in debt, and when it pleased him after 3 days, he took it back again. I find this interesting that the very moment when the Jewish Sanhedrin Council, that is the Pharisees and their clique, had decided against killing Jesus Christ during the Passover, that is, during the Jewish Passover, they met as a council. And they decided, so you know what, we want to kill him, that imposter. But we don't want it to coincide with our Passover. But you know, the very moment they met to make that decision, Jesus Christ announced to his disciple that he was going up to Jerusalem to die. Watch here. When Christ made that announcement, it meant, I am going up to Jerusalem so that my death will coincide with the killing of the Paschal Lamb for the Jewish Passover. Watch here. Human counsel met and said, we don't want both of them to take place too close to each other. So we're not going to kill him today or tomorrow. We're going to kill him. Jesus Christ, right then, while the council, Christ, turn to it in the book of Matthew 26, verse 1 through verse 5. Matthew 26, 1 through 5. And it came to pass.
When Jesus had finished all these things.
When Jesus had finished all these things.
Things he said unto his disciples.
He said to his disciples,
ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover.
Mm-hmm. That's the Jewish feast of the Passover.
And the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified.
Mm-hmm.
Then assemble together the chief priests.
You know that after 2 days will be the Jewish feast of the Passover. What he's saying, it's the same time that the Son of Man is going to be crucified. Watch here now. Read on.
Then assembled together the chief priests,
mm-hmm,
and the scribes and the elders of the people,
mm-hmm,
unto the palace,
mm-hmm,
of the high priest,
mm-hmm,
who was called Caiaphas,
mm-hmm,
and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety.
Yes, that is by working brains. They're going to do it in a subtle way. Read on.
And kill him.
Uh-huh.
But they said.
Notice the but. But they say.
Not on the feast day.
That is, they talk about the feast of the Passover. It's not going to be done there. But watch it. Jesus Christ had just told his followers that they're going up to Jerusalem, and that's the time he's going to die. That is, the very people who planned to kill him planned that it does not coincide with the Passover. Jesus Christ planned that it's going to be done at the Passover, and that's the time it was done. What is the point? It was Jesus Christ who crucified Christ. And every detail of it was up to Jesus Christ. May I? There's another incident here. Watch it, watch it. In the book of Luke, chapter 9. The passage, we all know, you usually take it from Matthew chapter 17. Just Wednesday night gone, the incident played a very important part in our Bible study. Why I'm taking it from Luke is the fact that Luke gives us a little more detail than Matthew. But in this passage of Luke chapter 9 and verse 30 following, Jesus Christ is here discussing his impending death with Moses and Elijah. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, yeah. Moses had died about 1300 BC. That's right. That is about 1,300 years before Christ. Elijah had died about 900 BC. But here from the past, they were present talking with Jesus Christ. What a glorious scene. Two men who had served God faithfully and had been dead, not just for a few years, hundreds of years, they present themselves on the topic of discussion. You notice that Matthew, if my memory serves me right, did not give us what they were talking about. But Luke, being a doctor, usually gives more detail. That's right. So in Luke, we are told that they were talking about Jesus' death. But you know what is striking, brothers and sisters? Ladies and gentlemen, as Moses, Elijah, and Jesus Christ discussed Christ's pending death, note with me, it was not, in fact, read it, from verse 30 to around 31 or 32. Let us have it.
And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease.
And they spake of what?
His decease.
Brother Webb, why then read that use that big word for a person like Carl Mitchell, who don't know what them big word they mean? Spoke of his what?
Decease.
What does that mean?
Death.
Thank you, brother. Glad you are here to help me out. Spoke of Jesus' death,
which he should accomplish at Jerusalem.
Which Jesus Christ, you notice the life out of the word, which Christ should accomplish. Notice he tell him at the place, brother.
At Jerusalem.
The man not dead yet, and he might tell you exactly where he would die. I'll talk a little more about this great city, Jerusalem, in a few minutes. That's right. Read on.
But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep.
That's right. Stop there, brother. You notice here that as Christ, Moses, and Elijah discussed Christ's impending death, it was not discussed with any attitude of failure. It is not being discussed with any attitude of regret. You notice, it's not discussed with any attitude of frustration. It's not discussed with any attitude of helplessness. You notice? But it's talked about by Christ, Moses, and Elijah as a plan worked out magnificently. That Christ himself would accomplish at Jerusalem. Christ, crucified Christ. In Jesus, the sacrificial death of Calvary for your sin and my sin, we see demonstrated the greatness of the Almighty God and the mystery, get this, the mystery of all, the Almighty God overrule all things.
I forget, you forget.
No, sir. I want your attention. How God not only overrule all things, but at the same time allowing for the freedom and responsibility of human will. That is what we notice here. In working out the step by step progress of Jesus' death at Calvary. Watch here. We notice how the great Almighty God going to everything that's going to stand in the way and become an obstacle of His will. God pushed them one side. But at the same time, the Almighty God allowed for human will to have its freedom. Yet, the human will, when it is given its freedom, human being would be responsible for how they exercise their will. What? Brothers and sisters, watch here. You're watching? May I? Are we there? Look here. All the details of Christ's crucifixion involving one, the charge upon which Jesus Christ chose to receive the death penalty. That was no accident, you know. It was not left up just merely Jewish law or Roman law. That was decided hundreds, thousands of years ago. The charge upon which Jesus Christ would decide to receive the death penalty. That was decided. Secondly, the exact time of Jesus' death was not determined by the Jewish Sanhedrin Council or the Roman government. God had decided that. Christ had decided that. But not only that, the third point. The place of Jesus' crucifixion. Who decided where Christ? Okay, it was the Jews. It was the Romans. No, sir. Wait. Their pride, the Jewish pride, the Israelite pride was permitted to have its way to play out. But no, it was the Almighty God who decided all of these. The charge upon which Jesus Christ would receive the death penalty, the exact time of Jesus' death, and the place of Jesus' crucifixion, these were all specifically fixed and chosen by Jesus Christ and ordered in keeping with His gracious and immutable will, not by the Jews or the Romans. Are we there? Ladies and gentlemen, the place of Jesus' crucifixion. Are we there? Where was that, Brother Mitchell? Calvary, if I may. Where was that, Brother Mitchell? Mount Moriah, if I may. The place of Jesus' crucifixion. Golgotha, if I may, the place of Jesus' crucifixion. Jerusalem, if I may. Somebody said, Brother Mitchell, was Jesus Christ crucified at four places? No, they are all one place. Calvary, Golgotha, Mount Moriah, Jerusalem, one place. Jewish tradition, Hebrew tradition, had it that Cain, it was the place that Cain and Abel had offered their sacrifice. But God's word tells us that this is the place that the Almighty God had ordered Abraham, help me here, to offer Isaac, Mount Moriah. It is the place that God appeared to David according to Scripture. Calvary, Mount Moriah. It is the place that the great Temple of Solomon was built. Calvary, Mount Moriah. And it is the place where Jesus Christ was crucified. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it has been a place of sacrifice and significant event. But it was not chosen for Jesus' crucifixion by the Jews. It was chosen hundreds of years before there was any Jewish nation, thousands of years before there was any Roman Empire. It was chosen by the Almighty God. Are we there? In bringing about man's redemption through Jesus Christ, sacrificial death at Calvary. God, in bringing about man's redemption, I've said, through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ at Calvary, God used and permitted evil men in pursuit of their evil design. God permitted that. Remember, I touched on that a while ago when I talked about that the Almighty God overruled all things while at the same time allowing for the freedom and responsibility of the human will. And how the great God does that, only the great God could do that. The Almighty God allowed man to play dally house with Jesus' death. The Almighty God allowed them to feel that they have accomplished something. The Jews felt good that they got rid of him. Now, of course, they're going to be shocked at his resurrection when they thought they silenced Jesus Christ forever. After 3 days, they hear that the man is still alive. Only God can do. Wait, where was I? That the Almighty God permitted, and the Almighty God used evil men in pursuit of their own evil design. The Almighty God used and permitted the pride and the vanity of the Israelites. The Almighty God even permitted Satan himself to play around with Jesus' sacrificial. Even Satan, wait, not only Satan. The Almighty God allowed the indifference and the blindness of the Roman government, the Roman Empire. They felt that Jesus Christ was an insignificant religious imposter. The Roman government, they dealt with it like they were trying to help the Jews to deal with a little domestic problem. with Rome with all its power. This little insignificant religious fanatic or imposter that comes along is no threat to Rome. May I? Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, it was under the broad umbrella of God's permissive will. Somebody didn't hear that. Under the broad umbrella of God's permissive will, that the entire drama of Christ's crucifixion was enacted upon the dark stomach of Golgotha. The part that Satan played was permitted by God. The part that the Roman government played was only permitted by God. The part that the Jewish nation played was permitted by God. But all the way it was God's will that Jesus Christ be crucified for the sins that we have committed. Ladies and gentlemen, as I wrap up, ignorant of and blinded to the fact that is the Roman government who got involved only to help the Jews out with a domestic problem. The Roman government, the Roman Empire was ignorant of God's working in Christ. They were blinded to the fact that this great, this great imposing empire called Rome, with its military might and power, with its civil order, and its social stability, with its network of roadway for commerce, the Roman government think that this power called Rome, among the greatest in human civilization, with all these things in place which probably no other civilization has ever seen, this civil order, Paul could appeal when he thought he was not getting justice. He could appeal to Caesar at Rome. That is social and civil order. The Roman government did not know that it was the Almighty God who raised up this Roman Empire. That's right. So that when Christ, the gospel, and Christianity makes its arrival, it would find certain degree of stability in the world that was in the best interest of Christianity to spread. The entire Roman system with its civil order and social stability was the doing of God. It was no accident. When the Romans thought that they were building roadways for commerce and to carry their army to different parts of the world, they didn't know that they were building roadways for Paul and others to take the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a great God. Haven't we been told in the book of Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4? Share it with me, brother.
Galatians 4:4.
Uh-huh.
But when the fullness of time was come.
Everybody hear that? But when the fullness of time, somebody else have 1 Corinthians 1:22 through 24. Galatians 4:4, we are closing now. We are closing. Galatians 4:4, who crucified Christ? Christ crucified Christ. Everything surrounding his death. Either they were permitted by the permissive will of God, or they were efficaciously planned from everlasting that those should play a part in Jesus' crucifixion. When God's right time came, fullness of time, that's one of the meaning of that phrase. The fullness of time means that when God's right and proper time came. What is the point, Brother Mitchell? The entire Roman Empire was part of God's fullness of time. It was God's plan that we have this great stable empire so that Jesus Christ would be born in it, so that he could carry on his ministry in that stability. So, you know that the Jews were under the Roman at this time. So that Christ could be crucified under that Roman system. So that the gospel of Paul and Peter and others take the gospel of Christ to different parts of the world. They would have this social and civic stability. That was no accident. Never think it's an accident. Oh, Lord, so much. The last passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 following.
For the Jews require a sign.
The Jews require a sign.
And the Greeks seek after wisdom.
The Greeks seek after wisdom.
But we preach Christ crucified.
Wait, brother, wait. We are closing. Are you here today? We are saying, hold the passage. We are saying to you, if you are not a child of God, if you have not benefited from the crucifixion of Christ, you can do so today. How do you do that? Respond to the love and the grace of God that the crucifixion of Christ represents. That's why Paul here, the Jews seek for a sign.
The Greek.
Seek after are wisdom. Running for worldly wisdom. But what the Church of Christ does,
we preach Christ crucified.
And Him crucified. Unto
the Jews a stumbling block.
It is a stumbling block.
And unto the Greek,
it is foolishness. But unto those of us who have responded and who have accepted Christ, the preaching of Christ and Him crucified is the power of God. Let that power of God work in you today by responding to Jesus Christ. As we stand and sing.